Should Christians keep the dietary laws of the Old Testament? And why is God not laughing? These questions and more are answered on today's Beyond Salvation.
At all times I will bless Him. His praise will be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble man shall hear of Him. The afflicted will be glad. And join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together.
Shalom Havarim. That means greetings and peace, friends. And I'm Adam J. Bernay, your radio rabbi, welcoming you to this edition of Beyond Salvation. Each week we're going to examine the scriptures to see how they show us the way to walk just like Jesus did. If you really want to know what would Jesus do, well, that's what we discuss here each and every week by looking at God's Word from its original Hebrew perspective. I hope you'll be a faithful listener as we reason together, just like the Bereans did.
To save them and deliver them from harm.
Last week, I began a teaching entitled, Do Not Put Unfood in Mouth, about the dietary commandments. I am starting with a focus on the mechanics of the dietary commandments, what we can and cannot eat, and some of the reasons we think why. Notice I said, we think. God doesn't tell us a reason why particular animals are clean and other particular animals are unclean. He essentially says, this is what is clean to eat because I said so, and I am God. Those of you who have raised or are raising children, how many times have you said similar things? Do this or don't do that because I said so, and I am the parent. God is our Father. He has the right. Later, I will discuss some of the deeper lessons we can apply from the dietary commandments and address some objections to the dietary commandments people have raised based on statements in the apostolic writings. But let's recap the terminology I taught you last week. Kashrut, or keeping kosher, is the name given to the traditional Jewish dietary laws. Halakha is the Hebrew term for the interpretation of the commandments. It literally means going or the correct way or the way to walk, since it is the correct way to do the commandments, to walk them out in your life. Now, food in accordance with halakha is called kosher. Food not in accordance with halakha is called treif. Last week, I talked about what land animals are and are not kosher. So now let's continue with water animals. We read in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 9 through 12, "These you may eat, whatever is in the water. All that have fins and scales, those in the water, or in the seas or in the rivers, you may eat. But whatever is in the seas and in the rivers that does not have fins and scales, among all the teeming life of the water, and among all the living creatures that are in the water, they are detestable things to you, and they shall be abhorrent to you. You may not eat of their flesh, and their carcasses you shall detest. Whatever in the water does not have fins and scales is abhorrent to you." So the rule is that they must have both fins and scales. This leaves in, as kosher, many commonly eaten fish today, like salmon, trout, snapper, saltwater cod, tuna, and a fish that has become popular recently, tilapia. A side note on tilapia. The tilapia species are native to Africa and the Levant, including the Sea of Galilee, where, according to legend, Jesus used it to feed the 5,000, and the fish Jesus had Peter catch that had the silver shekel in its mouth to pay the temple tax for the two of them was also one of these fish, resulting in the nickname St. Peter's fish. So what fish aren't kosher? Well, all of your shellfish, and also sturgeons, beluga, including the caviar. Only caviar from kosher fish is kosher. Also swordfish, catfish, freshwater cod, eels, octopus, squid, and lamprey. There are others, but those are the major non-kosher fish, or treif fish. So, sorry, no calamari. That's right, no lobster, none of that stuff. More complete lists of kosher and treif fish are available online. A good place to start is the website kashrut.com. That's spelled K-A-S-H-R-U-T, kashrut.com. Again, K-A-S-H-R-U-T. R-U-T, kashrut.com. But what's the difference between kosher and treif fish? Well, other than the obvious, kosher fish have both fins and scales, which is the commandment, And tray fish do not have both. They might have one or the other, or they might have neither. But a fish has to have both to be kosher. The tray fish are all bottom dwellers. Remember what I said last week about pigs, how they're basically walking garbage disposals? Well, most of the tray fish are the garbage disposals of the water. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll look more at the dietary commandments and why believers should keep them on Beyond Salvation. I'd like to take a moment now to talk about the sponsor of this program, Beit Tefillah Messianic Fellowship of Fresno, California. I am privileged and honored to be the rabbi, the leader of this Messianic congregation made up of believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. Some of us are of Jewish background, but many of us are not. But it doesn't matter, because we are one in Messiah. We meet weekly for services on God's Sabbath, that's the seventh day of the week. We gather together for prayer, for praise and worship, and to learn from God's Word. Our services begin each Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., giving you a chance to sleep in on God's day of rest. We meet in Fresno in a private home at 525 East Clinton Avenue between Van Ness and Palm Avenues. You'll see a sign out front by the sidewalk. After the service, we have a time of food and fellowship. Then after we fed our stomachs, those of us who want to stick around feed our minds and souls on God's Word as we study the Bible in some greater depth than was possible in the sermon. This sends us out for a work week refreshed and renewed in our faith and our fellowship. We also gather for the biblical festivals and some traditional Jewish celebrations and commemorations. Please consider joining us to celebrate the fall festivals, as God's Word tells us in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 24 to 44. Come join us for these festivals of the Lord and find out what the fall feasts teach us about when Jesus will return. The first one is Yom Teruah, the Day of Blowing the Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, Head of the Year, or Jewish New Year. We will have four services for this festival, one on Monday night, September 29th at 6:30 p.m., and three on Tuesday, September 30th, at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. At the Monday night service, I will be teaching on God's calendar and how it works since this is the new year. And at the Tuesday night service, I'll be teaching on the rapture. And let me tell you, what I'm teaching is something you've probably never heard about the rapture before. The second of the fall festivals is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This day of fasting and prayer reminds us that we must constantly turn back to God to check our behavior against the standards set in God's Word. We will again have four services for this festival, one on Wednesday night, October 8th at 6:30 p.m., and three on Thursday, October 9th at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. The third of the fall festivals is an eight-day feast, Hag Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, or sometimes called the Feast of Booths, depending on which Bible translation you use. In this outdoor festival, we celebrate the fall harvest, but we also celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's right, the birth of Jesus. Come to the first night of this festival, Monday night, October 13th at 6:15 p.m., to hear about how we know from the Bible that this is when Jesus was born. As a part of our Sukkot festivities, we'll be having two very special events. The first one is Saturday, October 18th at 11 a.m., our Bagel Brunch Public Outreach. We invite you to join us for bagels, cream cheese, coffee, tea, and juice, and a time where you can ask me and other members of our leadership all about Beit Tefillah Messianic Fellowship and what we believe. And there are services right before and right after at 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., so you can take the opportunity to see what our services are like. Then on Sunday, October 19th, from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll be having a special missions trip fundraiser for Sharon Lurie, a musician and writer from Nashville who is going on a missions trip to Nepal next year. Come listen as she performs, gives her testimony, and talks all about this important missionary venture. And these are just a few of the many services and special events during Sukkot, which I'll talk about more in the coming weeks. For more information on any of our services or events, you can call us at area code 559-477-4977. That's 477-4977. Or you can check out our website at FresnoHouseOfPrayer.com. Beit Tefillah means House of Prayer, so remember our web address, FresnoHouseOfPrayer.com. And we're back. We're taking a look today at the dietary commandments, and we just finished looking at the fishes, the creatures of the sea. So let's move on to the birds and other flying animals. We read in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 13 through 19. These, moreover, you shall detest among the birds. They are abhorrent, not to be eaten. The eagle and the vulture and the buzzard and the kite and the falcon and its kind, every raven and its kind, and the ostrich and the owl and the seagull and the hawk and its kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the white owl and the pelican and the carrion vulture and the stork, the heron and its kinds, and the hoopoe and the bat. Now here we have something interesting. Unlike with land animals and fish, God doesn't specify characteristics of flying animals we can eat and characteristics of flying animals we can't eat. He simply names off those we cannot eat. But let's do a little thinking here. Given what you know about these flying animals and what we have learned previously about the differences between clean and unclean land and water animals, what do you think is the difference between these unclean flying animals and the flying animals that we know are clean, like chicken or turkey or goose or duck? All of these unclean animals are scavengers. They eat other animals, primarily rodents, and they also consume other dangerous things, whereas clean flying animals eat primarily grains. So as you can see, the differences between the clean and the unclean animals are primarily what foods they eat and how they live. In short, clean and unclean. The rest of the commandments in Leviticus 11 are similarly about cleanliness. You can read them on your own, and I think you'll see how much sense it all makes. Now, I want to point out a couple of interesting things about eating only clean animals. First off, let's look at the apostolic writings. Specifically, in both Matthew and Mark, we read the exact same description of Yohanan the prophet, or John the Baptist, in Matthew 3:4 and Mark 1:6. John wore clothes of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Well, of course he could eat locusts. It says you can right there in Leviticus 11. So that was a quick look into the apostolic writings. We'll look at it more later show. Secondly, studies have shown that a kosher diet is healthy, much healthier than eating food like pork that is not healthy. People who eat treif animals or who eat kosher animals that are not kept clean and prepared cleanly are susceptible to all sorts of diseases. Remember what we talked about last week about a cow that eats meat gets mad cow disease? Well, this is the same for all of these. If the animals are not kept properly, they develop diseases. And treif animals constantly have these diseases. In Exodus 15:26, God says, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you on which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." This is a perfect example of that. You're not going to get trichinosis, for example, if you don't eat animals like pigs that carry it. As my brother Brian said as a kid, they call it tricky noses because pigs have weird noses. But most importantly, animals like pigs that are unclean are not considered food by God. And therefore, if you want to live by God's standards, you should not consider them to be food either, should you? And as that Cambodian mother said, and as my mother loves to quote, "Do not put unfood in mouth." That's all on this for this week. We'll look more at the dietary commandments and why believers should keep them next time on Beyond Salvation. And now the Messianic Music Corner. This week, Lenny and Varda Harris, who come to America from England and Israel, perform "Let Us Sing."
Let us sing how he Messiah.
Let Us Sing by Lenny and Varda Harris. You can check out more of their music at lennyandvarda.com. That's LennyandVarda.com. Teaching our final segment this week is my friend and colleague, Messianic Rabbi Avner Solomon of Congregation Ner Tamid in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He's also the president of the Coalition of Torah Observant Messianic Congregations. And now, God is not laughing.
The Lord is provoked to jealousy. He is provoked. Verse 15. Human being, he asked me, have you seen this? You will see practices even more disgusting than this. I believe we're living in the time today when the church is beginning to worship the created thing rather than the creator. They're chasing after the manifestations rather than the giver of the manifestations. And I want to tell you this morning that when you take your eyes off Yeshua, when you take your eyes off Jesus, then you are going to fall for the false rather than the truth. The adversary is an expert at counterfeiting the real thing. God wants to do a real work in his people in this last hour of time. God wants to go deep within our hearts and our spirits, and he wants to bring up everything that is abominable and the idolatrous in our hearts and in our lives, and he wants them to be cast off, and he wants to prepare for himself a pure and holy bride. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Most High God is saying this morning. God is provoked. He is provoked, not by the sin of the world, but by the sin of the church. He's provoked to jealousy. God has called for judgment. Is God laughing at the state of his congregation today? No. I think this is the most heart-rending, heartbreaking picture. God says through his prophet in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent of their sin, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and I will heal their land. But I want to stand here this morning and say that if the church is not ready and willing to fall on its face and repent, then we're going to suffer judgment right along with the world. We're going to suffer judgment right along with the world. God is marking his people now. Now, not next week or next year or 5 years from now. He's marking his people now. He's marking those who are weeping and mourning, and he's sending out judgment on those who think it's a frivolous thing to be in the house of the Lord when the Lord is about to judge. Let's take a look at the apostolic writings. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, he entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were carrying on business there, both the merchants and their customers. He also knocked over the desks of the money changers and upset the benches of the pigeon dealers and refused to let anyone carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then, as he taught them, he said, isn't it written in the Tanakh, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers. I look at much of the church today and I see the walls painted with all sorts of crawling things and abominations and idols. And the ministers are standing with their incense in their hands and the Ruach HaKodesh is crying out to us today, cleanse your hearts, rend them and turn back to me while there's still time. While the angel is still marking those who are weeping and mourning for the sin of the church. Thank God that in the midst of it all, he has a remnant. He has a holy bride that have not given themselves to the abominations. He still has a people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But those people must now stand up and be heard. Those people must have the courage to call what is righteous, righteous, and what is unholy, unholy. Those people must fall upon their faces and weep and mourn for their brothers and sisters who are not able in this last hour of time to tell the difference between what comes from God and what comes from the enemy. Didn't Yeshua tell us that it would be this way in the end? In Matthew 25, he tells the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. 5 of them are playing church. 5 of them are going around their merry business, not concerned with what's coming. The other 5 are pressing in, and they're getting their lamps filled with oil and their wicks trimmed, ready for the coming of the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom came, and when the shofar sounded, and the alarm went forth, 5 were not ready. So when the bridegroom comes and we hear the shofar, we hear the trumpet blast, we're not ready. We've been feeding from unholy cisterns and drinking polluted water, and now in the moment that we need our fullness, we're empty. We've been running around drinking from empty cisterns. Give us of your oil. I can't. I can't give it to you. I can't stand here and pronounce an anointing on the church. I can't do it. It's not my place, and I don't have the ability or the inclination. You must go and get your own oil. You must pray. You must fall down on your face before God, and you must repent, and you must turn away from the abominations that you've allowed yourselves to be polluted with. You see, I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink from it. I can stand and proclaim until the coming of the Lord his judgment, but unless you turn, you will be judged. Unless I turn, I will be judged. All I can do is turn myself. All I can do is repent myself. Pray that God will turn you and others. If each one of us will turn individually and pray and rend our hearts before God, if each one of us will repent of our own abominations as well as the abominations in the church, and if we will seek the face of God and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear. He will change you. He will change me, and he will change them. God is looking now, in this hour, for a people whose heart is touching his. God's heart is broken. God's heart is weeping. God's glory is about to lift from his sanctuary. God's not laughing. He's not laughing. He's weeping. Yeshua HaMashiach is sitting at the right hand of the Father in tears, brokenhearted for a bride that's committing adultery and doesn't even know it. We need to pray, family. We need to humble ourselves. This is not an hour of frivolity. This is not a time to roll around on the floor and bark like dogs and roar like lions or hop around like kangaroos. There is a time, the Bible says, to rejoice, yes, but there's a time to weep and a time to mourn. There's a time for peace and a time for war. There's a time for mourning and weeping, and it is a time for declaring warfare against the enemy who is coming full force against us with lying doctrines, seducing spirits, and carrying away even the very elect. This is a time for mourning and weeping. You can't worship God and worship the devil at the same time. You can't be like the rest of the world and still be the friend of God. We are a holy and peculiar people, not carried away with every wind of doctrine that blows through the church, but we are rooted and grounded in the word of truth. We ought to be a people who know their God, who cannot be fooled and pulled by every wind of doctrine that comes. The Bible tells us to resist the devil, to resist his doctrines, to get caught up in Yeshua. Congregation Ne'er Tamid just celebrated our 15th anniversary. God has given us a vision. God has told us to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I carry a little business card in my wallet. It's been there ever since I came to faith in Yeshua back in 1979, and it has three words on it. Watch God work. God can and will do mighty things here in Nova Scotia, across Canada and the United States, and throughout the whole world. And if we seek his will for us, God can do mighty things. Everything you need is in the Word. The Word of God. Everything you need is in the Word of God. It's all in here. It's all in here in this book. Yeshua is looking for a holy bride that's holy and pure, completely, totally, and forever his. We need to pray.
Next week in this segment, we're scheduled to bring you the first of a multi-part teaching on Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, in other words, gossip, slander, and backbiting, which is one of the biggest problems in our society, our culture, and yes, even the body of Messiah. That's next time on Beyond Salvation. Let us and that's our show for this week. I hope you're enjoying the changes being made to Beyond Salvation. I definitely want to hear your opinion, so please contact me and let me know what you think. If you found what I have to say interesting or challenging, be sure to check out my book, Beyond Salvation, Why Believers in Jesus Should Keep the Torah, at www.beyondsalvation.info. If you'd like a copy of any of my shows or specific teachings on CD or in writing, we make these available to anyone for any donation of $2 or more per CD or transcript. Please specify which show or teaching you are interested in. Also, if you've been blessed by this program, we ask that you donate to our parent ministry, Beit Tefillah Messianic Fellowship, so we may continue to reach out to the community with a message of love and God's Word. To contact me for any reason, or for more information on the show or how to donate, feel free to contact me by phone at 559-477-4977, by email at radiorabbi@comcast.net, or at our website, FresnoHouseOfPrayer.com. Or you can send mail to Beyond Salvation, 525 East Clinton Avenue, Fresno, California, 93704. And until next time, this is Adam J. Bernay, your radio rabbi, wishing you Shalom Ubrachot Bashem Mashiach Yeshua, peace and blessings in the name of the Messiah, Jesus.